Hello, and welcome back to the final episode of What Would Helen Say? Where therapy time is anytime. This last episode is titled, Hear Me When I Say. In this episode, my couple finally utilizes the Gottman exercise, the stress-reducing conversation. In this exercise, you really get to explore how what a person starts off saying isn't always what they mean, and therefore more questions and more feedback is necessary in order to get a true understanding of the meaning behind what they are saying. If you like what I'm doing, you would like to support me, you would like to see a season two, or if you're interested in more information about the skills and the techniques that have been utilized with my clients over the past few months, please click on the Patreon link below for more information. Thank you. How's the last couple of weeks been?
I've been good. I cannot complain.
Same. Okay. Always good to hear that.
How about you?
I just said same.
Well, you talking about low, you can't hear you.
She can hear me. We can hear each other.
Okay. But I do remember last time when we left off was, you know, an intention to start working on building those intimate conversation skills because you guys felt like that's where a lot of times things go left. And that seems to be a struggle with, you know, how do you have those conversations? What do you say? You know, how do you reflect back and help the other person feel heard and understood? So I thought it would be a good time to utilize, you know, the stress reducing conversation and the three skills of an intimate conversation. So to kind of summarize the stress reducing conversation, this is a type of skill or conversation that couples should be having regularly. Okay. The idea of this conversation is this is the format for how you should talk about every situation that's not related to your relationship. Okay. So if you want to talk about work, you want to talk about family, you want to talk about what's happening in the neighborhood, you know, anything that is not about your relationship, this is the skill that you guys want to use to do so, okay? How this works is one person is going to be the speaker throughout the entire time until we get to the end, and the speaker is like, yes, I feel understood, I feel supported, and then you can swap roles. Okay, so the speaker, you can bring up any topic of your choice as long as it's not about the relationship. It could be the past, it could be the present, just not the relationship. Okay, the listener, you are doing most of the work in this skill. So your job is you're listening to your partner and you want to be able to reflect back those empathetic statements. And if you have three skills of an intimate conversation, it gives you a long list. Here we go. Yes, it is a very long list of suggested empathetic statements. So you can say things like, you're making total sense. I understand how you feel. I wish you didn't have to go through that. Oh, wow, that sounds terrible. Like, it gives you a long list. So I don't care if you sit here and you're like, that hurts me to hear that. It's not about having this flow just yet. It's really about getting comfortable with, okay, out of this list of 43, you know, empathetic statements, which ones do you feel comfortable with using? And then being able to make those statements your own.
you know, if you want to change up a word or two, if you want to say it this way instead of that way, like, it's just about you getting comfortable with having a conversation in this way. Okay. Biggest rule is, when you're having a stress reducing conversation, you never take the side of the enemy. So what does that mean? If there's an example and your partner says,
you don't even know what she means yet.
Never take the side of the enemy.
Okay, go ahead.
So my example of this is, if your partner says, man, I was running late for work, and as soon as I got in, my boss yelled at me about being late, and then this happened and that happened, this is not the time to tell your partner, well, you are late a lot. This is not the time. Not the time. You want to support your partner's feelings. Support your partner's feelings in that, wow, that must have been overwhelming for you. It's not that you are co-signing or approving negative behavior. It's not about that at all. But it's about focusing on how the situation made your partner feel and being able to support their feelings. Okay? The other thing about this style of the conversation is, oftentimes, whatever's bothering your partner within their world may have a deeper meaning for them. So the other aspect of this conversation is, you want to see if you can uncover that deeper meaning. So that's why we have the other skill of an intimate conversation, which is asking meaningful questions. You know, so whether it's, so what are you feeling right now? That can be a question to help it go deeper. Just to identify other pieces of things, you may ask, well, who do you think is most at fault? You can ask, well, does this remind you of any other incidents in your past or your childhood? You know, so these are questions that really help your partner to go deeper. And I think it's really good for you here, Jay, to know that these are things that you can do outside of trying to solve the problem. Okay, so final thing is, you're not trying to solve the problem. That is not the goal of this particular conversation. It's not to solve the problem, but to gain the best understanding that you can of the problem. Okay? Great. I will jump in where I think I may be needed. But for the most part, I want you guys to try, you know, utilize the pages. If, like I said, if you have to read it off the page, that's fine. Okay? So, who wants to be the speaker first?
I know, me. Yeah, of course. Yeah,
listen, right? I went first like three weeks straight.
Yeah, sure you did, child. Okay. Okay. I think the most stressful thing right now, I told you, is the whole like job thing. It's bothering me a lot because I'm trying to figure out what do I want to do. We have children. We are trying to focus on, you know, doing certain things for ourselves to better ourselves, as far as like a house or business or whatever. But it's like right now with the job that I have, I don't see it happening as quickly as we want it to. And job stress like spills over into like everyday life kind of thing. So yeah. I need a good job.
Okay, so Jay, can you identify any questions or statements you can make in regards to that?
Man, you're talking on the spot. I want to say.
This is the two of you having a conversation. Speak to each other. I'll jump in to help out when needed.
Jesus. All right. So it's something like this right here. Mm-hmm. Oh, so to your question, I would ask you, I'd be like, so you laugh. I'd be like, what kind of field are you looking to go into? Like, why don't you like your own job?
It's too much work, not enough pay. It's too demanding, I guess. And overall, I don't think that it's fair treatment. Oh. Right now, I guess. I don't know. Is that question on it, or did he just make that up?
I mean, he may have made it up. It's not bad.
Because he looked down at it and then he started reading, but like I don't see that on there, so I was confused. Where did that come from? But okay, but is that how it's supposed to go? Should that be like a question thrown in there?
I mean, I didn't see anything wrong with the question in terms of, you know, what's caused you to feel this way, basically. So we can go a little bit more. I think there's some other questions on here, Jay. Again, I want to take a step back and get you to get a little bit more comfortable.
And I can almost bet that he's going to say the same exact thing.
I'll help guide him. I found a question number that I'm going to guide him to.
Which one? Is there anything I can do to support?
I was not immediately thinking of that because I feel like that's jumping us to like the end too quickly. Okay. So, Jay, as you look over the list of questions, number 13 really stands out for me. I don't know what your preference may be.
Number 13. You don't even know what number 13 is.
So it's going to be in skills number 2. Exactly. Ask question.
Thank you. Exactly. I know what I'm talking about.
All right. So I got to ask you that right there.
You don't have to ask every question on the list. I'm just trying to help you. I'm just trying to help guide you as to what I think could be an appropriate question in this situation.
All right. So I'll be like, so moving forward, is there anything you can do to, let me see, to to find something that fits you more, something that would be in your pay rate with the kind of work you're trying to do?
I don't know how to answer that because I don't really know what I want to do yet.
I mean, you got time, there's no rush. You could always find a job that fits you.
Okay. Let's not jump into trying to solve the problem. Mm-hmm. Let's come back.
How is that solving?
Because you're jumping to the end of, well, hey, I know you're going to find something that suits you. And it's kind of wrapping the conversation up rather than trying to dig deeper into it.
All right.
Okay.
So it's more so I should be like,
I mean, the questions are there. You can read the questions if you
want. I'm trying to go from personal experience is us. Like, I don't want to be looking at this and asking the same question that's on here.
You can. That's the purpose of it.
Mm-hmm.
You can
ask
those questions. Oh, all right, all right. Oh, so I asked you, do you have a choice? You have a choice, or you want to meet?
Right now, kind of, no. I don't really feel like I have a choice. I feel like if we didn't have the responsibility that we had, like, I would have been just left and got another job. But it's like I have to think about a lot more now before I just jump to a new job.
I want to say to that, I would say see, I can't ask these questions because then it's like I'm trying to, because then I'm going to say something that'll make it seem like I'm trying to solve it, but I'm not really trying to solve it. I'm just trying to, I don't want her to be stressing about a job.
I get it that you don't want her to be stressing about a job, but she is stressing about a job. And this is not about you removing that stress from her. This is about you fully understanding her stress about it. This is where you want to ask the questions of who, what, when, where, why, how. Like, do you fully understand her stress about her job situation, where you could answer the questions of who, what, when, where, why, how? Like, who at her job is causing her to feel this way? You know, are there specific situations that have happened that have contributed to her feeling this way? When did she start feeling this way? So these are all questions that go into you fully understanding where she's at and how she got there.
So to that last thing, I would say, so did you speak to someone regarding your pay?
A little bit. I introduced the conversation to two different people. I spoke to my manager first, and it was like, oh, 1% something. I'm like, okay, whatever. That really didn't make a difference to me. She offered, a new position in the same department, which would still be under her, and I don't want to do that, so I didn't apply for it. I applied for something else. And I spoke to HR, and he told me to speak to my manager.
So you feel like you're not valued there.
Right.
Good one.
You seen the episode of Martin, right? When Gina boss kept on working and Martin came out to the job, he made me do that.
That's not. Oh
my god. That's solving the problem.
I don't want you to do that, Martin.
I'm joking. is there anything, did something happen with you and your boss the way though she's not trying to let you go or let you move on?
My personal opinion, she a hater. You're the only two black girls in the department. You're a hater.
Oh.
That's just how I see it. There's nothing else besides that. She's the fourth lead that I've had throughout this whole thing, and she's been the least supportive since she came into the department. So it's like now because she has a management position, it's just like, she's too standoffish for me. I've offered to have meetings and stuff, and she always wanna have a meeting scheduled on my day off, knowing my day's off. They've been the same for the past 3 years. I'm not gonna check in for a meeting on my day off. Because then any work that you do outside of your work schedule, they say that that's overtime. So me logging in for a meeting would be overtime. But then she said that they're not paying for overtime right now. So why would I log in? You want me to apply for a position. You hounded me to apply for it. I told you I don't want that position. I want something else. Before I even apply to the job, she's already saying, well, oh, I don't think that you should do that. Well, you can do it, I guess, if you think you're ready. Like, that's not supportive. And now I find out it's because all of a sudden, the pay rate that they would be offering me in the new position that I applied for would be equivalent to what she's getting paid now. And she's been here longer. So it's jumping up two spaces from where I am now and like the level guy. Then for the other position previously that I applied for, it was for fraud. She knew how bad I wanted fraud. She told me she would help me like put me on a project with them for Super Bowl. Super Bowl came around, never got on a project. She said she don't know what happened. Now, after I already got denied for that position, she, like, we never met with each other afterwards or anything to discuss it like we were supposed to. We didn't do any type of interview prepping that we were supposed to. But now she wants me to do a project and listed me as a helper. I'm not a helper. I'm nobody's helper. Fraud gets paid more than CX. Why would I do fraud's job plus CX plus anything else that you throw at me? And I'm not getting that money. Like, no.
Is it a way that you could like communicate with her and explain this stuff? Because it seemed like she don't value you. So I want to say, I don't think that. See, look, it's hard because it's like you're trying to solve something. So I don't know. Let me see.
It's okay to look at the pages. You know, you can ask questions or you can make an empathetic statement, which just helps to validate other feelings that may be happening.
It's like 41 on this page.
41 is a good question.
Are there parts of yourself that are in the conflict?
Yes. Like I said, if this was like the past, like pre-kids and serious bills and everything, I absolutely would have quit. Like, I would have quit by now. So now I feel like because of so much responsibility, I'm like kind of stuck. So it's like I have to deal with it. And I don't want to. So that's what makes me not want to do the job even more. Because I know I don't want to do it. And I don't like doing things that I don't like to do. So I kind of feel like I'm forced to stay in this job. Because, I mean, it's remote. The pay is decent. It's not what I want, but it's decent. It covers what we need to cover. The PTO policy is good. It's not, you know, we don't find that often where you have unlimited PTO and the benefits and everything like that. Like, it's really, really good, but I feel like that kind of spoiled me in the sense that when I'm looking for a new job, the first thing that I'm looking for is the unlimited PTO. Even though I don't take advantage of it, it's still nice to have just in case I need it. I can't go back into the office right now because daycare fees are like out of this world. So I still need to find something that's gonna like work around everybody's schedule.
All right, so to that I would ask, so how often do new positions come up in your job?
Every day.
Every day? And did you notice any that you would like to go to?
Yep. But even though most of them are remote, for the ones that I really want to do, they're in Vegas or Boston. They're not paying me to move to Vegas or Boston, but they keep offering Vegas or Boston because those are where the headquarters are. I'm not going there. Nothing is available really in Jersey that I want to do. And even still, with certain positions, like I would ask them, like, you know, well, since we are technically remote, like I reached out to like the hiring managers, like, would there be an exception made? You know, if like, if the time difference is an issue, like I'll work during, you know, like the time frame that I'm supposed to. But even still, before applying, you can't just like apply. You have to go to the manager first and have to tell them. So I would have to go and talk to the lead first and tell her that I want to apply. Then you have to tell HR that you're interested. Your manager approves for you to apply, and then you apply.
And there's no way that you can like just like overstep her, like to go to like a higher manager, so the manager go to HR and not nope. Do her.
That's like their procedure internal. To make any internal moves, you gotta go through your lead first. So it's definitely discouraging. Because I told you the last position that I wanted to do, she was like, oh, well, I guess if that's what you want to do. Like, I don't know if you'll be able to handle it, but if you think you can, then go ahead and apply for it. I'm like, okay. It's like, you really don't know me. I accepted this job initially because of the hours. That's what worked at the time. And it's like, real being real, this is not even what I'm supposed to be doing, where I'm supposed to be. I'm overqualified for this job anyway. I'm more qualified than every last one of them on that team. There's a lot that I can do, but I feel like when I'm overdoing it, I'm not getting compensated for it. So now I'm going to keep what I know to myself. So they're like, oh, well, you know, you should show who you are and stuff like that. That's what my old supervisor would say. Like, you know, like, show them that you can do this. Like, he was super encouraging, but it's changed now. I don't know, but I don't like it.
That's kind of deep.
Do you mind if I jump in?
Yeah, go ahead. help me.
So, a few minutes ago, you said you don't like doing things that you don't want to do. What's mm-hmm. the history behind that?
I don't know. I just don't like, I feel like I should be happy doing things. Like, I know that work is not going to always be happy. Like, I get that. But I feel that if a situation makes me more miserable than it does happy, then I don't need to be in that situation. But it's like I'm forcing myself to basically stick it out, like I said, because, you know, I know that he won't be able to bear the weight by himself. Like, I'll still have to do something. And, you know, it's not just me that I have to look out for now. Like, I would easily just say, like, you know, okay, whatever. I'll put this, move on to something else. Like, I would do that all the time. But I can't do that anymore.
Okay. So I'm just kind of wondering, what is that specific transition like for you? Because this is a side effect of parenting. You know, when you didn't have children, you could just make these moves and you can be like, oh, I'm gonna pop over here, I'm gonna pop over there, this, and that. But you have children and now you're like, whoa, pump the brakes. I can't do that. So how is this transition playing out for you emotionally and mentally?
I feel like that is like making me more miserable in the job. So I'm like, oh my God, like I don't wanna do this. I shouldn't be doing this, but okay, I have to do it. And then I'm dealing with customers all day. I can't be like miserable when I'm talking to them. I can't be upset when I'm talking to them. And it's just like, it's a lot of emotional control talking to these people. Even when they're sitting here like going off, I still have to like restrain. I'm just like, this is why I don't want to just be. I think also too, since I'm so used to like changing jobs, just sitting in the same seat basically is bothering me. Like, I need something else to do. I wouldn't mind staying in the company if I can get a new position outside of customer service. Like, I don't want to do customer service. I feel like I'm over that now.
So realistically, I mean, I know we talked before and you kind of have a timeline that you're considering, but realistically, how long do you really think you can maintain this dynamic? Because yeah, you can start applying to other jobs, but you don't have any control over that timeline.
Great. Before it really, really gets bad, then my max is 60 days. So I wanted to have like another conversation with the lead again. We were supposed to meet. I don't know what happened with that, but I wanted to have another conversation, but I was kind of trying to wait until I calmed down a bit. Because if I have the conversation now with the mindset that I have at this very second, my last day will be today. Like, it's going
to
be today.
Zero to 100.
But she's not zero to 100. She paused. She's thinking about it. She's trying to be rational. And she's taking into consideration what her strengths and her weaknesses are in this moment. And she's playing them accordingly. She's saying, hey, I can't have that conversation right now because I know if I'm forced to, it's not going to be a good outcome.
Yeah. But this is zero for her. This is what I call zero. Mm-hmm. This is zero.
I guess if that's what you want to call it.
But it's good to talk about it while it's here. Yeah. So even as it does escalate, it doesn't escalate as quickly.
Yeah, because I ain't trying to be bailing out nobody from jail.
If we was in the office, maybe, but it's remote, so we're good.
But you know where that place at, so.
I'm okay.
So, Jay, I would like for you to take this time to kind of summarize everything that you've heard and you've understood about this work situation for her and play it back to her to show her how much you understand.
All right.
Dramatics.
How'd you go? Perfect. All right, so from all that, what I got was you don't feel appreciated at your job. Your manager basically trying to stagnate you and just have you under her. It seemed like she wants you to do her work, but for your same pay. But you feel it though that you will flourish somewhere else in a higher position. And also, if you didn't have no kids or if you didn't love your kids how you do, you would have been quit. Mm-hmm. And I also got from there, let's see, what else? I want to say, I got that you were doing a good job at not going to jail for causing violence to somebody.
Okay.
So how was that?
It was pretty good. Pretty good.
I'm listening.
So very good. Absolutely good job. So is there anything else in that B that you feel like he missed or he misunderstood?
I think that like maybe the transition itself should be a little bit more acknowledged. Like changing from like thinking for myself versus thinking for a household, basically.
Okay. So when you say being more acknowledged, what would that look like if there was more acknowledgement?
I don't really know. I feel like I just didn't hear him like say it. Like, yeah, he said, you know, like, oh, if you didn't love your kids or whatever, like, you didn't have kids. But it's just like, I've never heard him really ask me, like, you know, how is that for you? Like, how do you feel about that? Or, I don't know.
Okay. So do you want to expand a little bit more in regards to, you know, making that transition, helping him to understand and have more words to describe it?
I don't really know how to expand on it. And I kind of also would like to know, like, is the transition the same for him too? Like, am I the only one feeling this way?
Ooh, that's a really good one. I think that's fair for you to ask.
That is a real good one.
Because sometimes, elaborate. Like, I feel like certain feelings that I have, I'm like, I don't know if I'm being selfish or, like, should I be selfish? Is it wrong? And then it's just like, is it normal? Because if it's normal, I don't hear anyone else saying it. I feel like I'm the only one. I've never heard you say anything like that. We lived together, like, before we had them, so it's like it would only be us that we have to think about.
Yeah, but like, I mean, when it was with us too.
Car note and crazy bills, like, it was before all of that.
Yeah, but I mean, before them, I felt like it was like, instead of you caring for them, I feel like you would care for me. So, like, you would do stuff because you care for us. So it's not like it wasn't selfish.
No, I'm saying. Okay, it was just me and you. And I had this job right now. I would have just quit, like, on the spot. I'm quit. I'm not thinking about tomorrow. I'm not thinking about the bills next week. I'm not thinking about who needs clothes or food. I'm just going to quit. But now what I'm saying is I'm not able to do that. So do you feel the same way, like, about yourself? That's what I'm saying.
Oh,
Like, before having kids versus now.
I mean, I wasn't too big on quitting. I wasn't never like a person that just going, like, I'm just gonna quit a job if I don't have like a definite job right after. So I can't speak on that part, but I want to say, like, I know I got certain things I have, like to handle home. So it could be the same thing as you. It's like, when I'm at a job, I'm there until they either fire me or until another job comes that I want. So that's a man how different that. I seen her quit a job after a week.
Okay. So even if you can't relate specifically to the job situation because you just see jobs very differently than she does, but what about other aspects? Because everybody has some transition that they have to do going from an individual to a parent. Because you can't move the same way as a parent as you could when you were just an individual. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Now you gotta buy extra items. You can't be outside certain times. You can't go out a lot of times. Honestly, like, I don't really like it's not a big change for me because, like, I'm not about to be outside all day anyway, so I'd rather be in the house and out with my kids, so it's not like a big change in my life.
Okay, so for you, you feel like this was a fairly transition, like the things you gave up, maybe you felt ready to give up?
I don't want to say like it was entirely easy, I want to say. But it wasn't hard to do because it wasn't like, oh, I need to be outside or I need to be doing this or I need to be doing that.
So, crackers.
I'm not sick.
Okay. So I'm going to give you a little example here because I'm just trying to help weed out possibilities. So I remember my early days of being a parent. And once my boys got to that age where, you know, I'm eating something and they're like, oh, I want some. Or what is that? Can I taste it? Can I have some? That was a big transition for me to go from I could sit down and have my meal all to myself to now everything is shared every single time. There's always somebody's hand in the plate. I got to share this. I got to give that. You know, that was a transition that I remember. So like things like that can play a role. And it doesn't mean that you aren't happy, you know, to be a parent. But this is something you have to adjust.
I think with him, exactly what he told you is how he is like all the time, though. I'm like, oh, I don't care. Like, nothing literally bothers him whatsoever. Whereas, like, I'm just like, no, like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to share. Like, why? Like, I'm questioning everything. But then it's like, sometimes I don't say anything because I feel like I'm complaining. And you just like, okay, it's fine.
No, it's not complaining. That's just how you feel. It's a natural to have feelings. So don't ever look at it like that.
I know, but I'm saying it's, I guess it's more comforting when I know that it's mutual or you understand it a little bit more. Because then you make me feel like, why am I feeling like this? So now I'm starting to like question, should I even be feeling like this? Because with you, it's just like, oh, I can stay in the house for a month straight. I don't care.
Nah,
I don't have to go outside. Oh, I don't have to do this. I'm okay. They can have whatever they want. Like,
everybody got a different feeling. Everybody not the same. So don't ever think that because you feel a way that because maybe you feel different ways. It's a problem. That's nothing. Ain't nobody the same out here, and it don't work.
No, I understand what you're saying. However, I get where she's coming from too. It's like when a person says, you know, this situation really made me feel sad, and then somebody else is kind of like, it's whatever. You start to question yourself. As, you know, well, am I perceiving this correctly? Is there something wrong with me? You know, am I just the special one that's feeling this way or thinks this way? So it's really about looking for that emotional validation, you know, to say, yeah, I get it. I understand why you feel sad or disappointed or it's confusing and things like that. And then being able to share with that person when you felt a similar way, that can help solidify, oh, okay, you do get it.
I try not to. Like, again, I know you said it's not plain, but I still try not to.
I feel like we used to, I have a younger brother and sister, so like I help raise them, so like it's not a big adjustment of having kids when I was dealing with that.
Okay. So, I'm wondering if maybe the difference is you might have made some of these adjustments way back when your siblings first came, you know, on the scene versus her, you know, really trying to make these transitions now.
Yeah.
Okay. So maybe part of what it is you kind of reflecting back on however many years ago when you were transitioning to having younger siblings and being able to look at it and say, yeah, I remember, you know, when my brother came on the scene, my sister came on the scene, that this is kind of, you know, the experience that I went through and that sort of thing. And it might help the two of you feel a bit more connected. So we're almost out of time. Overall, do you feel like he's understanding your work situation?
Yeah.
Okay. Is there anything you want or need from him at this point in time?
Conversations like this when I bring it up, or bring up a situation from work, versus
Our number.
Honestly, she knew that works.
I get it.
So basically what she's saying is, she was awesome. You did a great job. But this is what she wants you to do more of, and you don't need to talk about it.
I agree. If the old me, I'd have been in jail trying to find a man today. I'd have been outside and holler at
you. So, not necessary.
No, please don't. I'll be out of a job before I even know it.
I'm going to show you.
Exactly.
I'm going to show you the episode of Martin.
So. I know the episode. That's why I want you to stop saying it.
She's like, we are not doing that.
You sure?
Positive.
I'll go down.
Thank you.
All right. But I think that is a good place to end for today. All right.
Okay, here we go.
Take care. Keep using these skills. If you get a chance to put them out, that would be awesome. I will talk to you guys next time.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
All right, you're welcome. Bye-bye.
Thank you for having tuned in to the final episode of What Would Helen Say? Where therapy time is anytime. I hope you have enjoyed this series of following both my individual client and the couple, to see where they started off to finally where they're at. Now, this doesn't mean that my couple is finished growing. It doesn't mean that they have tackled absolutely everything, but they do agree that they're in a better place now than when they started. I started this podcast because I want people to get familiar with the real therapeutic process, what it's like for real clients to start off on day one and where they get to in just a couple of months. And like I said, this isn't the end of this particular client's journey. And for very few of my clients do they only need a few months. But hopefully this was encouraging for you to feel more comfortable to reach out to find a provider of your own. And if there aren't enough providers in your area, then maybe you can tune in again and see what you get out of season 2. Thank you for listening. And if you're interested in supporting the work that I do or gaining access to premium content, please click on the Patreon link below for more information. Thank you.